Thanks for joining with us at Homilies from Holy Cross. Holy Cross Catholic Church is a parish in Kernersville, North Carolina, within the Diocese of Charlotte. Our podcast is a daily way for us to hear the gospel proclaimed and the word preached. So we're going to dive in and see what God wants to speak to our hearts today. The gospel for today, Wednesday in the fourth week of Easter, comes from St. John's Gospel as we continue walking through John's Gospel. And it comes from the 12th chapter, verses 44 to 50. And Jesus cried out and said, "He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as light into the world, that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has a judge. The word that I have spoken will be his judge on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority. The Father who sent me has himself given me commandment what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has bidden me." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Today's Gospel is speaking about the particular judgment that each soul will receive upon its death, going before the Lord, standing before him as a judge, and he will then give to us the inheritance that we deserve based on the state of our souls. So that's either the eternal reward of heavenly life or the eternal punishment of the fires of hell. But this particular gospel can be misinterpreted if it's taken just by itself, because Christ here says, if anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him. So one might say, well, that means that those who do not do the will of God will go before the judge and they won't be judged, right? Well, that it can't mean that, because that goes against the other sayings. And so let's put this into the context and how John is writing his gospel and its layout. Here he says, I have come as light into the world, that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness, right? This makes us think a little bit of the opening of John's gospel, right? It's called the prologue of John, a very famous passage. And he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then we jump to verse 9. The true light that enlightens every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world knew him not. His own people received him not. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. Right, so we see these two images that Christ is using in today's gospel. He says, I have come as light into the world, and whoever believes in me, that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. And then he says, I am not the judge, but the word that I have spoken is the judge. Right, the doctrine of the gospel is the judge. So here, what is the word of God? We'll go back to John. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so Christ himself, in kind of this mystical way, is saying, I have come to save the world, not to judge it. But with the development of doctrine, with the teaching of the gospel, right, that itself will be the judge. We also can look at John chapter 5, verse 22. Right? He says, the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. Right? So we have, in the context of John's gospel, that Christ is mystically saying that he is the Word, and the Word, he himself, will be the judge. Now, let's look at two different ways that we can look at man's judgment. The first way is the positive judgment of God, wherein the soul goes before God and is judged by Christ the judge, right? Which we know to be true. Now, some throughout the history of the church have taken some of these passages saying that Christ is not the judge, right? And all in the way in which the light enlightens the soul. And they've developed it into the most general way to call this is a universalism, right? So a universal salvation for all. Basically, the idea that when the soul stands before God, it can't reject him, right? There's no way that that perfect illumination of the soul will have that, will have a moment in which we will recognize who Christ is fully and our will be fully in accord with his. Now, that's a nice thought, this universalism, that even at the end of time, like, the devil will be saved, right? Because he won't be able, as he stands before Christ, won't be able to reject him. The issue with this is that it only looks at God's will for man without our understanding that God respects our own will, that God respects our own choices. And so let's take a look at the other angle of the judgment, wherein if we die in a state of sin, then as we stand before the judge and we make an account for ourselves, we can still believe in the mercy of God. God does not send anyone to hell. We send ourselves to hell by our choice. So the soul that dies in a state of sin, even if that soul before death is trying to fool himself and say, oh, well, you know, there's always the mercy of God, da, 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 da. But they know the gospel and they know what they do is wrong. Then when they stand before the judge, when they stand before Christ, they'll recognize their own incompatibility with Christ, because their choices did not align with him. They'll recognize their own unworthiness. And so in a certain way, and some of the saints and spiritual writers throughout the history of the church speak about the judgment as the soul judging itself before Christ, knowing already the reward that it will receive. Right? If I know that I'm in a state of mortal sin, I know the punishment that comes, and I'm choosing that. Even if I'm choosing some other good, some other pleasure, some other material thing, some other, you know, whatever it is that I'm choosing, I still know what that brings in the future. And so if I die in that state, I've already acknowledged by that choice what I will pay as the price of choosing what I've chosen, that evil that I've chosen. But if I presume that I'm in a state of grace, not conscious of any mortal sin, right, faithful to the duties of my state of life, the activities and responsibilities of each day, of participation in the sacraments which bring about an increase of grace in our life, and I'm trying to follow the commandments, and I'm trying to live according to the word that will be my judge, right, the word of God, That's choosing and making those difficult choices to live in accord with God's will, so that I can presume that Christ will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. So universalism, wherein there's this idea that everyone will be saved, right, is not compatible with what Christ has said. Remember what he says about separating the sheep and the goats. And the goats are sent to the eternal fires, right, and the sheep are brought to the shepherd. So the same thing with Lazarus and the rich man, wherein Lazarus is in heaven and the rich man is suffering the pains of not being in God's presence. And Christ actually says that there's a deep chasm, a great divide between them. So we're speaking about two separate places, one in which we're fully immersed in divine life, looking at God face to face, because that's what we were made for, and that's the blessedness that comes. The fear of the pain of hell is that eternal separation from God, an eternal lack of what we were made for, an eternal lack of the happiness and fulfillment that we receive from being in his presence. That's the spiritual pain of eternal punishment. And so, taking this in context, it's very clear. Christ says, "For I have not spoken on my own authority. The Father who sent me has himself given me commandment. And I know that his commandment is eternal life." And so each time that we're faithful to the Word judges us now. We can look to the Scriptures and we can look to the tradition of the Church and the faith and morals of the Church as she is taught throughout the centuries, and to know right now very well what the judgment is, and then correct ourselves so that when we do meet Christ, we fulfill what he says here, I have not come to condemn. I have come not to judge the world, but to save the world. Only if we, like Christ, are faithful to the commandment of God, because I know, as Christ says, that his commandment is eternal life. In conclusion, let us go ahead and pray together the St. Michael prayer, as well as the intercessory prayer that the bishop sent to the priest to be prayed during the coronavirus outbreak. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle, be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray, and do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of soul. Amen. Merciful Father, through the intercession of Blessed Mary, St. Roch, and St. Rosalie, deliver us from the current attack and subsequent suffering we are enduring from the coronavirus. May we seek to assist those in need in body or spirit, and ourselves turn away from sin and trust in you. We ask this in the name of the Divine Physician, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.